glad that you're here today.
Our speaker this afternoon is no stranger to our school. We invited Doris Peppard to be our speaker today. This year is her 50th year of Christian education. And we asked her to come to share a few things that she's learned through the years. But I did tell her that we only had about 20 minutes. So she pared it down to a handful of things. Before she comes, though, I wanted to take a moment for all of the graduates of Santa Rosa Christian School to please stand. Would you join me in a big round of applause, please? Raise your hand if you had Mrs. Peppard as a teacher. All right. You got I've set you up, Mrs. Peppard. I have to say that I was in her first class when she graduated from college in May of 1975. She came here in the fall, and I was in her sixth grade class. I think there are two or three of us that are here today that were in her first class. Would you please stand as well? All right. I stand with y'all. I want you to all know, this is Eric Woods and Kristen Brock, Kristen O'Pager Brock, and we were not harmed by that first year. She was Miss Hobbs then. And we did a very good job, I think, of breaking you in that first year, so you knew exactly what you were getting into. So I want you to join me, first of all, in a big round of applause for Mrs. Peppard's 50 years of Christian education. And I'd like for you to come at this time.
The portion of the 23rd Psalm that we're going to consider today is found in the third verse. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Robert Frost wrote this poem. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both and be one traveler. Long I stood and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, and then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet, knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, some more ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. Life, you see, is made up of paths. Some of them may be good, others bad, and others doesn't really matter, not good nor bad. What we make of the paths, though, that are presented to us will be either the making or the destruction of us. I've walked on the path of Santa Rosa Christian School since the beginning. I was in the fourth grade here. And while here, I've taken and learned about many paths that were taken and some that were not. The path of Santa Rosa Christian School began in the heart of my parents. Dad had always said he didn't want to be a pastor of a small church with a white picket fence where people only came once a week. He wanted his ministry to be varied. He wanted it to include more. This path began with much prayer and determination to have a ministry to boys and girls of Santa Rosa County. My brother and I were adopted 2 weeks before the start of Santa Rosa Christian School. We were a couple of Yankee kids. I mean, we were relocated to Florida. Now, is there a better path than that? No. A few years ago, I spent some time doing some research upon my biological family's background. I found out that my biological father, grandfather, and great-grandfather had all been alcoholics. Our biological father had been abandoned by his own father after his mother died, that he was brought to an orphanage. My brother and I, you see, are fourth generations of that family. Remember God's word? The sins of the fathers are passed down upon the third and the fourth generations. Now God literally picked us out of that family and plopped us into the Hobbs family and gave us a new path. And that path included Christian education, biblical training, and very loving parents. David and I did nothing to get on that path. God simply put us on it. As the hymn says, His yoke is easy, His burden is light. I found it so. I found it so. He leadeth me by day and by night where living waters flow. You'll never be able to imagine how thankful I am for being put onto that path. The most important path I chose was the path of salvation. At the entry sign of this path, there's a sign that says, Whosoever will may come. And then at the gate, it goes right through the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I took that path when I was 10 years old, a fifth grader. I knew I was a sinner, and I was under conviction. My dad met me at the altar and led me to my Savior. No one who decides to take this path regrets going down that road of salvation, ever. But regrets do come to those who either put it off or refuse to take this path. Sometimes we get on a wrong path. The lesson is, once you figure out that a path is wrong, get off. Change directions. Did you know that this campus was originally planned to be built off the property off of I-10? Yeah, a local businessman had offered a deal for the land that was just too good to be true. Excellent price per acre. The bulldozer had been ordered to begin clearing out the property. A dedication service was all set up. The speakers were lined up. All was in readiness. Then the Lord sent rain. A couple weeks worth of rain in just a few days. Oh, I remember how we prayed. Lord, please give us dry conditions so that our dedication service could take place. A couple of days before the service, the rain stopped. Thank God. However, when they went to check on the property, they discovered that the bulldozer had sunk nearly entirely in that soggy land. An engineering firm was called to come and check the property. The news was grim. We would need to build on top of pilings in order to have a firm foundation. Cost prohibitive. So our path had to change. Thankfully, that same businessman offered to buy back the land. We canceled the dedication service and started to seek God's counsel once again to direct our paths. We were so fortunate that God provided us this beautiful campus. We went from the lowest point in Santa Rosa County to the highest point in Santa Rosa County. Wasn't God good? I shudder to think what would have happened to us if we had dug in our heels and stuck to that original path and built on that swampy land. God expects us to follow His leading, and He expects us to be willing to change directions. Occasionally. Our campus here was built in 1967. I was in the eighth grade when it was being built and was the first graduating class of Santa Rosa Christian School. There were nine of us in that graduation, class of 71. Okay. I remember many of the paths during college. I was a freshman at Bob Jones University. I was taking history of Civ. After I got my first test back, I wrote to my parents complaining about how impossibly difficult that class was. I probably wouldn't be able to pass, and I would probably then become a college dropout. Now, before you judge me too harshly about this, let me tell you, here's the kind of a question. This was on the Reformation period. What direction would Martin Luther need to travel to meet up with John Wycliffe? Well, I was thinking, England? Germany, right? No. The answer was none of the above. They didn't live during the same period. See what I mean? History of Civ was not a fun path to be on. Impossible. Yes, sir. Being a college dropout was in my future. Now, please, I want you to understand. My mama was the letter writer in our family. She was always the writer in our family. She faithfully sent me letters every week. Not Dad. And calling long distance? Oh, my goodness, no. That was way expensive. It cost over a dollar for a minute. And it was simply not done unless Dad said there was sickness, the plague, or death. I got only one letter during all 4 years I was away at school from my dad. He wrote me. His letter was really, really short. Dear Doris, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Love, Dad. Ouch. So I buckled down to the best of my ability and was able to pull that grade up. As I think about this, my thoughts lead me to believe, and I bet you just about anything, that my mama typed that letter and Dad only signed it. Don't you think? Another path that I needed to decide on was where I was going to teach. Now, you might think, oh, that's an easy decision for Doris. It wasn't. I was scared to death to sign that contract. I had never signed a contract before. Now that I've been here 50 years, I look back and I think, oh, that was so ridiculous why I was so upset about that. But God led me down that path. I went to my faculty advisor at school and shared my burden, and his advice was this: Doris, just take one step, 1 year at a time. Sometimes you only take 1 week at a time, sometimes 1 day at a time, but just do it for now. You'll be fine. Stay in the moment and do what God wants you to do now. Then there was another incident. I'd been teaching sixth grade about 7 years. Sixth grade. I was coming early in before teacher planning week, and I decided I'm going to get all my bulletin boards up, and I'm going to be the first one done. Dad walked into my room, and he said, Doris, you might want to stop doing that. We need you to teach first grade. I loved it. And by the way, one of your mothers was in that first grade class. Won't say who. Ever since that time, I learned to take whatever path came up. And I have taught or subbed in almost every grade level. Now, I call my job hole filler. That's what I do. I've been called to fill many empty or vacant holes. Here are a few of the holes that I've been called to fill up. Teacher, lunchroom lady, I won't tell you about the pudding story. Cheerleader sponsor, WSI lifeguard, substitute teacher, banquet planner, Christmas program director, kindergarten program director, elementary supervisor, principal, administrator, registrar. And this year, I was asked to be slimed. Now, my dad felt like it was never right to put a limit on God or what he could accomplish through you. He taught that God would give me strong shoulders to handle whatever came. Now, there was one exception. Dad told me that he knew that it was never going to be God's will for me to ever do this job. You want to know what it was? Bus driver. And he was right. I have learned now to take whatever paths God opens. Jesus said unto them, no man having put in his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And also, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Another path I needed to take was to continue my education so that I could be used in administration. I needed a master's degree. So I decided to go back to school. To PCC I went. Now that doesn't sound like a difficult path at all. Until you realize I had been out of college 25 years. first class, the teacher says, make sure you follow Turabian. What's a Turabian? And he says, it's a who. See me after class. All right. Much had changed in those 25 years. I was the old teacher. My fellow classmates were working on their master's degree, and they had just gotten their BS degree in education in the last year. And I asked them, why are you trying to become a master when you've never done it before? And they said, well, if we wait, we'll be as old as you before we do it. I was the grandma of the group. You know what I found out? They all wanted me to be in their group projects because I was the one with experience. So taking this path was humbling, and yet God saw me through. All of the paths that God has taken me down have been for my good, for my development and training purposes. All are good things. The lesson, accept the paths God gives us. Don't be hesitant to try something new just because it's new. And be willing to change directions when the path leads in the wrong way. Be flexible in the hands of the Almighty God. Now, commencement service would not be complete without some practical advice for y'all. So here goes. Number one. Learn to log off sometimes. Okay, good advice. I know you're not going to do it very often, but occasionally that would be a good idea. We have moved our lives online and have abandoned many of our traditional ways of living. Many of us now carry smartphones everywhere, experience reality through photos, videos, social media, and smartphones make that all possible. Danger signs are everywhere, so be careful. More and more people are becoming addicted to their technology. So a fundamental challenge to all of you, and for the rest of your life, learn occasionally to log off. Interact with real people. Maintain the friendships you've made and expand your friendship groups to include others that you'll meet along the road of life. Number two, touch the grass. Get outside. You know, it means gaining perspective, remembering what's truly important, but it also means literally go outside. Take a walk or a hike. Remember that there's a natural world out there created by God, full of plants and animals, full of sunlight and fresh air. Touching the grass might mean finding time for thought and reflection. Meditate upon God's word. Psalm 19 says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So go outside and enjoy creation. Number three, I believe the most important skill you've learned at school is to read. As a teacher, much of what I've done is teach children how to read and how to analyze, question, challenge, and apply what they read in books of literature and history. In my own life, reading is my hobby. I can't imagine my life without reading books. We have an extraordinary opportunity to read a multitude of books, but nothing can replace the great masterpiece, the Word of God. It's the book of all books, the Scripture that God has given to us. The Scripture needs to be read to answer the most important questions of life. What's the purpose of my life? It's in the Bible. What am I supposed to do with my limited time on earth? It's in the Bible. What is the best way to live? It's in the Bible. So if you manage to log off and find time to touch grass, consider also picking up a book. Number four, you're not going to like this one. Hug your parents. Okay? You might not fully realize it today, and it may take a while, but your parents have been very important in your upbringing and in your life. One way to express your love is to hug them. There's power in touch. My parents are both in heaven today. What I wouldn't give to be able to hug them one more time. Right now, during this period of your lives, your parents might annoy, they might embarrass you. Mark Twain said, when I was a boy of 14, my dad was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to have the old man around. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man learned in 7 years. by now you realize that your parents are not perfect. None of us are. They're flawed human beings just like you. And they're trying to do their best to raise you. So give them a hug. And the last, this was something we tried to teach our students here in kindergarten. Be kind. I know it's cliche, and you've heard it no doubt many times over the course of your lives, but try to think about what it really means to be kind. It's actually difficult to be genuinely kind. It's much easier to just be polite, at least tolerant, but being kind means caring for someone else. It means recognizing someone else's humanity, and it means understanding that this person has many of the same thoughts and feelings that you have, and suffers in the same ways that you suffer. You are the class of 2025. You are at your best when you care for one another and recognize each other's strengths and weaknesses. It is often difficult to be a kind person, but practice will allow it to come more naturally. Kindness is worth the effort. In summary, remember, all of our paths are made up of individual steps. Consider this hymn. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. Each step I take, I know that he will guide me to higher ground he ever leaves me on, until someday the last step will be taken. Each step I take just leads me closer home. Allow God to lead you and direct your paths. I'll leave you with Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths.